Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. We are live right here from the Linda Craft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. I'm going to tell you what, today is one of those guests that we have that is so rare to have, but man, are we so excited, because his name is Stacy Anfinson. Now, you go, I think I've heard that name before. If you have done any research on what the housing market is here in the Research Triangle Park, which is Durham, Raleigh, Chapel Hill, he creates this, I guess we call it a newsletter, we call it a report called the TAR Report. That's the Triangle Area Residential Realty Report, the TAR Report. Now, what Linda Craft would say is he doesn't create it. He is the TAR Report. He's also an appraiser for Birch Appraisers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right? And you're a licensed broker as well?
Yes.
It is. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
All right.
Thank you for the intro. That was nice.
All right. All right. So you do a bunch of research on the Triangle area residential real estate. Right. There's a lot of people moving into this area. I don't know what the numbers are. You probably have those. But there's a lot of people who watch the show from out of state that are interested in what's going on in this market because they're coming in. And then we have a lot of real estate professionals that watch the show.
Right.
Who are curious about where we're at.
Right.
And we like to do a regular market update. So where are we at in the Triangle residential market right now?
We're still buying and selling houses. Oh, you brought me all the way in here to say that. Oh, my gosh. Interest rates are the big thing.
Okay.
We've been doing this a long time, and so this is the first extend. Matter of fact, Lawrence Yoon, who's NAR's economics director, he's been doing this about the same length as 1991 is when I got in it. He said he's never seen interest rates rise so fast, so quickly.
Mm.
And so all of us like to say, hey, we've studied the market. We know what should happen, right?
Right.
If you've never experienced before, you don't know, you don't know what it is. And everybody out there, so our heads were spinning one way from March of 2020, when we didn't know if anybody was ever buy or sell a house or come out of their house again. And then all of a sudden we figured out we could do that. And housing just became crazy popular because of work from home and specifically because of low mortgage interest rates. And then from March of 2020 until March of this year, we saw appreciation rates of 1, 2, 3, 4% per month, which had never, ever, ever in the history of American real property done that. So that was not sustainable. We all said it wasn't sustainable, but we were wondering, when is it not going to be
sustainable?
Who is going to put the brakes on it? And it was Jay Powell and the Fed. And so when you have, interest rates going up and house prices going up, you have this thing called affordability. Most people are looking at a mortgage payment on a monthly basis. And, some of the metrics I've done, it's like a $2,000 a month increase.
Mm.
So what happened was, it was from March until today, you've just seen the market trying to figure out what's next. Because when you have inflation, a recession being predicted, all these things are like, how do we handle this?
Right.
Agents are in the same boat. Appraisers are in the same boat. Homeowners are in the same boat. Homeowners are thinking, they're going to Zillow and they're thinking their house is worth X. And all of a sudden, last year Zillow said their house was X and they could get more for it. And this year their house is, Zillow says X and they can get less for it because now we have more alternatives on the market.
Right.
So, December is just kind of getting our feel for, I'd say this is probably the ninth month of dealing with this. We've actually had some stabilization in mortgage rates over the past 2 months. And so we'll see what happens in the first quarter because the Fed is committed to getting inflation under control.
What's interesting here, though, Stacy, is that these interest rates that we're seeing now, when I got into real estate in the late 90s,
right,
interest rates were about 7.5 to 7.75 at that time. Somewhere between 7.25, 7.75. And we thought that was great interest rates at that time. Because Linda was telling me, like in 1985, when she got into it, it had peaked to 18% at one point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when we look at these interest rates, right, I'm like going, but they're really not that bad.
Yeah. So if you do go back and look at it, and so I always kind of go from, my dad was in title insurance. So I specifically remember back in 1978, which I think was the peak, and I think they topped 20 or 21%. So if anybody out there listening who's in real estate at the time, you were doing really crafty stuff to get
right.
Deals together. And so they've really just come down since that point. But, you know, 77% on a $175,000 average house price, that's one payment.
Right,
7% on a $425,000, another payment.
Right.
So that's really where they're struggling. And look, we are in the business of, you know, providing context to it because, you know, our memories go about 24 hours back. And so, you know, I always think the context is great because a lot of these metrics that I do from a, you know, month to month or, you know, current month versus the same month prior, they're pretty substantial triple digit changes. So go back and look at it and see, hey, well, you know, this isn't the worst interest rate environment ever.
Right.
But I think if you want to put the current interest rate with the current average house price, you can make it the case that it's the most expensive housing environment
we've ever been in.
Really, I think, what's causing the angst. You can talk about interest rates and say, hey, they're not that bad. If you want to drop house prices back to where they were back then I think we're all okay with that. But if house prices are up here and interest rates are here, that's where the headwinds in the market's coming from, is that monthly payment compared to average house price and the mortgage rate.
Yeah, I think before 2019, correct me if I'm wrong, you'll know this, I think we were, our median house price was around 240, mm-hmm. something like that. And now where are we at median house price?
Right? Upper threes, pushing four.
Right, so we've almost 150,000 more than what we had. And so when you start thinking about it in those terms,
right. But I like looking at it. And so going back, I said the whole history of me being in the business was a downer. Matter of fact, I think I've been through three refi booms. So all I knew about interest rates is they're going down. And I think it was 2017 or 2018 when they first went up for like a 3 or 4 month period. And what triggered my interest was I got a refi appraisal in September and the guy had bought it in January. I'm going, that's odd. Well, interest rates had gone down almost 1% in that time, so he was getting a better payment. I said, you know, I ought to start paying attention to mortgage interest rates.
Right, right.
Because brokers do it naturally. I mean, they're in the business of using other people's money to sell something, and that other people's money is a mortgage rate. So it's just one of those things. I said, I'm going to start tracking it. So for the past 4 or 5 years, I've taken the national average for mortgage interest rate and applied it to the average sales price and come up with that monthly PI. And when I look at it, I think this month in Wake County was a little over 3,100. And if you go back to 2 years ago, it was about 1,100.
Oh, wow.
That's a big, I know we got money coming in
right here.
We need more money than that to make those things fly.
So in terms of some descriptive statistics that we're seeing here, mm-hmm. do you have an idea of how many people are coming into the area right now?
Yeah, it's an urban legend since we've been doing this. Is it, you know, 10 more people a day? Is it 20 people a day? Is it, the way I use it is we have net inbound population migration. So that means more people coming in than moving out. Whatever that number is, there's more coming in than going out, which is, look, that's good news and bad news. Where are they coming from? New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Illinois, Washington State, California, all those high-cost areas. So when they're leaving there, that's a double-edged sword. Inventory is being provided, but when you have more inventory, that puts downward pressure on prices. But you come here with inbound population growth and you have a finite inventory or declining, house prices go up. And really the challenge for the local buyer is I got a job here, I got a salary here, I got investments here, and then all of a sudden somebody comes here from Seattle that works for Amazon, or somebody comes from Northern California that works for Apple and has $700,000 to put into a house. They're not sweating mortgage payment.
Right, right.
There's not a lot of people around here that have that kind of money to put into a house. So they're really at a competitive disadvantage for these out-of-state people that come in.
Okay. So, by the way, that was a great answer because, you know, I've heard everything from 90 people a day to 126 people a day. I've heard
nobody knows.
But nobody really knows. I think the answer is, okay, people, if there's more people coming in there, go leave them.
Right.
That's the answer.
It's an unprovable statistic. Whatever you want to say can and cannot be proven. So go for it.
So what is some of the statistics that you're seeing that are kind of, you know, surprising to you as right now since we're in December versus what we've seen over the course of the year?
Well, I guess the one thing that's been most surprising is the amount of price dropping listings. So in November, it was 53% of end of month inventory had at least one price drop. That's actually been a national headline going around. So I thought, okay, how does that compare with other months, other years? Well, we set a record. We've never had that level of price dropping. And so it was interesting to see, first off, that's a good sign, right? Mm-hmm. Because if the sellers stick on their price, nothing, and the buyers don't want to pay it,
right,
nothing happens.
Right.
So I take it as a good sign for the agents counseling their sellers, and they're both on the same page saying, hey, this is what we need to do. The other thing that's really interesting, so, you know, historically, the agents would tell me, we'll sit down and do the CMA, and if the price isn't right, we'll come back and visit it in 30 days. That's right. Been the metric forever.
Right, forever.
30 days will
change. Since I've been in real estate, yeah, that's been yeah. Never. Yeah.
So now it's 7 days. So I started tracking, you know, you've seen the traditional price bracket metrics,
right.
You know, 0 to 100,000, 100 to 2,000. Now I do it in 0 to 10 days, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40. In the resale market in Wake County, 60% of the resales have sold within 0 and 10 days. So if your house hasn't sold within 10 days, it's mispriced.
Really?
Yeah, and the number, the percentages go, the sales price list price ratio goes up significantly as the days on the market linger. So if you keep your house on the market for 90 days, 120 days, 180 days, your sales to list price ratio goes from like 102 in the first week to like 90.
Really?
In 6 months. So it is interesting because there's not a lot of things that work from a linear standpoint
right.
in our market, but days on market does. And so those sellers that are out there that are, hey man, this is my price. You know, and the problem that we have with sellers is they're still stuck on this average percent per year gain. Oh, somebody said house prices are going up 1 or 2 or 3% per month.
Right.
They can't get that out of their brain, right?
Right?
So they said, hey, I bought it 2 years ago, do that math on that. It doesn't work. It
right.
doesn't work. And so those are the ones that are in the 60 day and up days in the market. And eventually they get a pretty good haircut.
Well, this is what's interesting about what you're saying here is because it was always 30 days,
mm-hmm.
right? Now what you're really advising an agent is you have to be far more proactive in this. And so, which means that it's happening faster.
Right. And so actually I'm kind of like one of the market therapists. A lot of agents call me up and say, hey, we got a problem. And they'd call me up and I still have this 30 day thing in my head. I'd say, look, the house has been on the market for 8 days. And I go, will you calm down? And then agent after agent would call me and I go, hold on a second, but maybe something's different. Maybe you need to check it out and see what right. it is. And that's what it is. It is amazing to me how astute the market has always been, probably for the past 20 years. But certainly last year when there wasn't a lot of inventory, say, how do I know if a house is priced correctly? Because even last year, people thought that there wasn't a single house that sold for under list price, but there were.
Right.
85% of them sold at or above, but 15% didn't. So how
right.
did those 15% get picked by the buyers? I'm fascinated by that. And so, yeah, there's so many tools for buyers right now, which is a benefit for agents, and it's also a negative because you can become a so-called expert with not really knowing, or you can cherry pick the things you're looking for. So those are the things that are just kind of I'm fascinated by because, you know, to say, hey, nothing's for sale and then something comes on the market, why wouldn't you jump on it? And they don't.
Right.
It's just that's pretty neat. So, you know, buyers today, I would say for the most part are in. So we are in appraisal world, we call it the principal substitution. So we're going to shop for apples and we're going to take the lowest apple based
okay.
upon, you know, its size. So it's got to be the same size. They haven't had the principal substitution going from March of 2020 to March of last year. There was no principal substitution. An apple came on the market. They had to jump on it. And
right.
they knew a lot of people wanted that apple too.
Right. Yeah.
So now in the market, we got some apples to pick from. And so the buyers can be more discerning in terms of which apple they want to pick, which I think is better because you're right. Last year's pricing environment was a silent auction.
It was.
Pricing model.
It was.
I started to say it was an auction base and they said, hold on a second. Nobody knows what everybody
right,
else is
right,
getting.
Right, right, right.
So it was a, you know, that's not good. That's right. Really not good. It's not healthy for the buyer's mentality. It's not healthy for the agent's mentality. Right. It's also a tough way to make a living from an agent standpoint if you're going out and you've written 15 offers and you don't get any of them. But now we have the principal substitution back in the market, and that's really positive for buyers.
So what are some other fascinating things that you're seeing in this market right now? Because the speed of this is unheard of, because this has been so, it's been so fast. But what's some other fascinating things that you've discovered in your research?
Well, it's whiplash, right? I mean, the fascinating thing is I've been able to handle the going forward and the coming back, and so have a lot of agents out there. It's been really for a profession that is kind of not viewed in high esteem in compared
That's
to other
true.
Impressions.
That's true.
Especially with the intellect that is in there. I think what agents have done in terms of starting with COVID stay-at-home orders until now, I can't think of many other industries that have had to just invent stuff or create ways to do business like the real estate industry has had to do. And now here we go again. We're going to have to come back to, when a house comes on the market, is it full price offer? Do we offer less? Do we look at days on the market? All those things that come in there. It's interesting. Inventory to me in resales added in Wake November this year versus November of last year were down. That's not good. The problem that we have is there are so many headwinds with resale inventory that I don't know how we're going to get out of it, especially when you have net inbound population growth. And what really makes it worse, I think I read a statistic somewhere out there that 60 or 70% of American mortgages have a rate at 4% or lower. They're not going in.
They're not going in. Right.
They're
going
to have to have a windfall to make that thing happen. It's just, those are challenges. So I don't know, when you look at economic supply and demand, if you have an undersupply of a thing, then the price of a thing should go up.
Right.
If you have an oversupply, this price should go down. So we've had an undersupply all this year, every single month. So why did house price metrics go down from April to November? It's like, is that even economically possible?
Right.
And why do they go down?
Right.
Well, to me, it's like you eliminate all of the possible solutions until you've got one that you can put your finger on. That's mortgage interest rates. So that's the wild card for it. It's like in prior markets, we assumed that there wasn't any price resistance.
Right.
Especially last year, it was like, I got to have it. Now you're seeing price resistance, not necessarily from that price I don't like. It's like, holy cow, that price is really expensive in terms of my budget for a mortgage. I can't do it. So they're just staying where they're at.
One of the things that seems, now this is anecdotal, so you'll have to correct me statistically if this is accurate.
Right.
But it seems to me that the first-time home buyer has been knocked out of this market.
Tell my son about that. Mm. Yeah, so, I get dad here, 24-year-old son, really would like. So my first townhouse was here in North Raleigh, $51,000 back in 1987 with a negative AM loan.
Wow.
Wow. So fast forward to today, and those products don't exist anymore.
Right, right.
But if you want, North Raleigh's still prime, Apex is prime, Cary's prime, Holly Springs, all that stuff. I mean, when you look at inventory below 400,000, which used to be like upper end when we got in the business, 400,000 was a big house. I remember the home builders did what was called the Dream Street. It was in McGregor West and Cary.
Mm-hmm.
All those houses were like $400,000 and $500,000, and those guys were sweating bullets. They said, "How are we going to ever sell these houses?"
Right.
But now it's like that's really when I look at inventory breakdown, there's just not a lot of inventory below four. And then you go to three and below, there's not a lot there. And two is just almost non-existent for that. So the first time home buyer it's something that we got to figure out.
Yeah.
Not you and I, but
right,
government
right.
and everybody in the business. Because the one thing that really disturbs me is to see these build for rent things.
Right.
So there's a townhouse development a mile from my house, big national builder. We had gone in there and said, we're interested. This would be a great place for him to buy. Agent calls me up and said, we sold all 45 units to an investor.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that's not good. These build for rent things, I know you're builders and you want to sell them and you want to get rid of them and all that stuff, but you know, society's best, especially this country, when people own property.
Right.
And so there's got to be something that we can do to figure out that affordability thing, because it's just a challenge. And you kind of have a dichotomy in the market. You've got, you know, kids coming out of college that are making really, really good salaries, and then they make, you know, they marry somebody and they're making really good salaries and they're making way more money than a lot of us make at 25 years old, and we're not upset about that or salty about that.
Right,
but
they
can afford house prices. But you know, the appraiser in their 20s, the agent in their 20s, the bartender in their 20s, the, you know, somebody working in you know, plumbing or something like that, trying to find a house in Wake County is a big, it's a tough ask. And so, you know, mortgage interest rates really clobbered them. If you're making, you know, $200,000 a year, mortgage interest rates go up, honey, it's a, you know, $500 more a month or whatever, or we'll just sell some stock. It's an issue, but it's not a deal breaker.
And
essentially they can drop down house price, but first time home buyers can't drop down
house
prices. So it really, I struggle with that from, I mean, there's not much I can do about it, but it really is something that I wish we could come together, you know, society and government, and figure out some way to get more people into real property, not the BS way prior to the Great Recession,
but a
legitimate way to get people into real property, because society is much better off when there's more people owning than renting.
So does this give new home builders an advantage then, this market? Is that what your research is showing?
Well, they got headwinds too. There's not a lot of people that would say next year there's a lot of advantages. But yes, in terms of creating inventory, new home builders are the only ones that can do it. You really can't create resale inventory.
Right.
Unless one of the entities that owns all these rental properties just decides to dump all their properties, which I don't foresee why they would do that. So yes, it is it's an opportunity for new home builders. Now the question is land, especially in the prime areas of Wake County, has gotten so expensive. It's really tough to come up with a product below 300,000. Most of their stuff is, you know, 3 to 4 and then 4 and up. That's really what they're building because of entitlement costs, lot costs, construction costs, all that stuff. And so that's the challenge that they have. And then, you know, most of them are, you sit down day one, you write a contract, and they deliver it to you 9 months later. Oh, what happens to costs within a 9 month period? It's really tough. So those are just things that, yes, they do have the ability to create inventory. Probably in the peripheral counties is where something you can find that below 300 product.
Right.
But guess what that produces?
Right.
That produces more cars coming into Wake County.
Right.
So if you get on 540 and 440 at night and you see what Johnston County coming back at night is just, it's crazy. So, but you know, better here than places where people are moving out of. So that's the challenges with a growing metropolis, if you want to call
Raleigh-Durham
metropolis.
Yeah,
it's you know, how do you that managed growth thing is always kind of triggers me a little bit. You know, the economic employment centers are here, and so then what, you know, how do we find housing for people coming here? How do we find housing for people that are here? Those are all huge challenges for government.
So the triangle is made up of, you know, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. How much work do you have and do you do in the Orange County, Durham County markets, where in terms of comparison, and do you do much work in there, and what do you see if you're from your perspective?
Well, they're two totally different animals. If you compare Wake, you know, Durham is essentially Duke, and then you've got Northern Durham County, which mimics a little bit of Northern Wake County because none of it's city water and sewer. But the majority of Durham is, you know, that South Point area. That's the new, that's their kind of version of Cary. But you've got a lot of, you know, those neighborhoods around the central urban core, the same things happening there as is in downtown Raleigh, not at the price levels that they are, but people are saying, hey, you know, the millennials like that urban vibe. And when we moved here, you didn't want any part of downtown Raleigh.
Downtown Durham is like, don't
go there at night.
Right.
Not necessarily from that standpoint, but there weren't any amenities.
Right.
Now you go to downtown Durham, the amenities are phenomenal. Downtown Raleigh, the amenities are phenomenal. So that really draws the younger crowd in there. Orange County is just, you know, you got Chapel Hill and then everything else. So Mebane is really where the growth of new construction is. But okay. But Chapel Hill has always been very picky about its new construction and its development. And to some adversity in terms of their budget, at some point in time, they're going to have to figure out that when you have a static population and you have services that go right. up, the tax rates go up, and then you become New York and New Jersey. And then, see, we have alternatives. I think when I go speak at Chapel Hill offices, they always I always say this and I duck. Because they used to view Chapel Hill like a wall around, like nobody lives in Chapel Hill, and there's no way they're going to live in Durham, and no way they're going to live in Cary, but sure enough, they do. And so that's really, I think, what was the reckoning moment for a lot of Chapel Hill homeowners who would have their houses built in 1965 and had not touched them at all, saying, well, here's my house. I live in Chapel Hill. It's a Chapel Hill High School district. Come and get it. And they go, I ain't living in that. I'm gone.
Right.
So it takes a while, but that's really what the, you know, I would say that one of the transitions that I've seen is we've really blended the three cities, you know, Wake, Durham, and Orange County, and to some extent, northeastern Chatham County and northwestern Johnston mm-hmm. County. Those have really blended into, you know, one kind of thing. There's no geography that, you know, right. we have our lakes, but there's no geography that separates any of them. So really the only thing is, you know, where are you working and what school district do you like?
Right.
So that's it. So
we just about done it here.
All right.
We just about done 30 minutes, but I wanted to ask you one question if you yep. can do it quickly. And that is, I know that you look at so much of the statistics, mm-hmm. is there any predictions that you're looking at that you would?
It. The hammer coming down.
Yeah,
last right. question, right?
Yeah, right.
Hey, people are still going to buy and sell housing. 2020.
You are so good. You are so good. That's so good. People just.
Well, look, I hope that we can get more inventory because it's necessary. I'm not very optimistic about that.
Okay.
We don't really have a demand problem, even with increasing interest rates. It's really it's an inventory and how that inventory is priced. And nobody can predict it, but I'm not very optimistic about resale inventory increasing during next year. But maybe we'll get lucky and it'll happen.
Awesome. You've been great.
I'm glad to do it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. We've been with Stacy Anfinson. He is the author, the publisher, the creator. He is the TAR Report, the Triangle Area Residential Realty Report. You know what? I know you had a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you so much. Give us a like on your favorite podcast that you listen to. We really do appreciate you so much doing that. As I say to you everywhere, all over the world that you listen to us, ciao, everybody. Yeah.